Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Pinchas. We have this week an unusual Haftarah. It is not that common for the Haftarah of Parshas Pinchas to be read. Normally it's already the beginning of the 3 weeks, and we read the first of the 3 weeks Haftarah. But because it's Nidche, so even though it is Shabbos or Tammuz, so this week we do read the Haftarah of Parshas Pinchas. And I'd like to share with you today an amazing short little vart from the Chasam Sefer, and we will add many stories. It's just how the Shira is going to be in Rosh Hashanah. I think so. So, like this. We have Eliyahu HaNavi in Melachim Aleph, who is very upset about all that Avodah Zarah going on all over Eretz Yisrael, and he makes a command. Tzadik Gezer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, no more rain in Eretz Yisrael because of all the Avodah Zarah. And the rain stops for a couple of years. And Achav is trying to kill him. He's very upset. He's searching him. People are sick. People are dying. There's no water. There's no food growing. The end, he meets up with Eliyahu after a number of years. Eliyahu Navi says, we're going to have a showdown in Har HaKarmel. And they go to Har HaKarmel. That's the Haftarah Parshas Kisisa, when it comes out, when it's not Chavei Shabbos Zachar or something, or Parshas Parah very often. So, after Har HaKarmel, so Eliyahu HaNavi tells them, this is after the Haftarah from Melachim, it says, Eliyahu HaNavi had all the Nevi HaBaal killed, all those Machti HaRabim were killed. And then Eliyahu HaNavi is Mechabed Achav, he says, I'm going to eat with you, drink with you. And he runs even, after it tells us, in front of Achav's chariot, Mechabed Achav, who has become humbled by the great Nisan of Eliyahu by our Carmel and Bnei Yisrael saying, Hashem Elikim. And Achav himself is inspired. Eliyahu Navi runs in front of him. And then we learn that Izabel finds out what happened to all the Nevi HaBaal, that they were all killed. And Izabel is very angry. Izabel says, no, the hunt for Eliyahu HaNavi's on. We're not friends with him now. We're going to still try to kill him. And there goes out a big wanted poster and signs all over the place. Dead or alive, Eliyahu HaNavi. And Navi tells Eliyahu HaNavi had to run for many days, more than 40 days, and stopped, and he goes again. He's almost starving. He's running first to Beersheba, and then the Chutzlars and the Midbar. He's out of there. He's running and running, exhausted, collapses, wakes up, has more Nisan, keeps going. And finally, he gets to a mountain, to a cave, maybe the same cave where Moshe Rabbeinu had once been in, the Nikra Satsur. V'hineid v'ashem elov, v'ayoy meloy malachafoy. Eliyahu, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? And the Radak says, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows why Eliyahu HaNavi is there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking him, Eliyahu, let's get involved, let's talk, let's schmooze it out. What exactly is bothering you? It's called Iftach Ima Midvar, like when Hashem went to Kayin and said, Ehav Elachicha, or Hashem went to Balak and said, what are these people doing here? Rashi says, Hashem wanted to have a conversation with them. Eliyahu HaNavi, of course, gets it 100%. He doesn't do any of those foolish things like Kayin or Balak. And he says, Vayoymer, Kanoi Kinesi Lashem Elikei Tzvokos. I have been a Kanoi. I am vengeful. I am very, very upset. I'm a Kanoi. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't tolerate this misbehavior of Klai Yisrael. Ki ozvu v'rischo b'nei Yisrael left your bris, as mizbecha yisecha harasu. They destroyed your mizbechas. They only had the mizbechas of the Baal. Ves nevi'echa hargu v'charim. They had killed out all the Nevi'im, except for the ones that Avadia had saved. V'ivasar ani l'Avadia, I'm the only surviving Navi. I'm only a surviving practicing Navi. V'ivakshu es nafshi l'kacha. Now they want to kill me. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm frustrated. Now, on the double Lashon Kanoi Kinesi, because it began, he said Kanoi Kinesi, the Yalkut brings, the double Lashon is Kanoi, I was a Kanoi already once, in Shittim, in the Parsha, because we know that Chazal tells us, according to most Shittis, Eliyahu HaNavi is Pinchas, he's the same person, he lived a very long time, Pinchas Eliyahu, and if so, he says, I was a Kanoi once. when I killed Zimri, I went and killed the Nasi Shibi Yisrael, I was a Kanoi back then. I said, what is this business in Yidden we're doing Znus? I didn't tolerate it for Hashem's covenant, and I stopped them. And Kinesi, the double lashon is now. So Kanei Beshitim, Kinesi now, Bahar Karmel. Now, the Al-Sheikh explains based on this, the Hemshach of the Pasuk, Ki Ozvu Rizchav Bnei Yisrael is going on the past, because back then, by the Baal Pa'ar, Bnei Yisrael have been Mechal Kedushas Bris Mila, as Mechaisacha Ha'aras, as Neviacha Ha'aragu V'charev, destruction of the Mizbechais, and killing the Nevi'im, that's a story from now. So it speaks about both these things. Vayivas Rani Levadi, I'm the sole survivor, Vayivakshu was Nafshi L'kafta, they even want to kill me. So the Chassam Sofer says, this is all Hakdam, and now the Chassam Sofer says, an amazing, very, very special thing. So the Chassam Sofer, Eliyahu HaNavi, what he's really doing here, he's lamenting, he's complaining, he's bemoaning the Yeridas HaDoiris. There's the Yeridas HaDoiris from the last time I did a Kanos, in Parshas Balak Pinchas, and the Balak beginning of Pinchas, and the Kanos which happened now. What's the big change? This is the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says that last time when I was a Kanoi and I went and I killed Zimri Ben Salu, nobody batted an eyelash against me. His Lashon is Lo Rifrif. No one flashed an eyelash against me. They disagreed very strongly. Like it says, Rashi begins at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, they were making fun, they were mezalzel in him, and they said, Re'isa Memputi Zeh, look at this guy, his great-grandfather was a guy, Pinchas had ancestors who were Gerim, this is probably comes from his Goyish Asar, look how he's behaving. And Hashem had to go along and say, no, it's Pinchas not a Lazar Benar and a Kayin, it's all Kodesh, it's coming from Makim Kedush, it's not coming from anything of non-Jewish influence. But they were very mezalzel in him. But says the Chassam Sofer, like Ola al Adas, no one had an imagination. No one imagined like Ola al Das Adam Lahar like to do anything bad to him. No one intended to kill him. Now I will say in parentheses, says Avram Reuven Eisenberg is saying, I do know if you look in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Beis, and in the Sefri and the Midrashim, it does seem very much. Especially when Farish and Rashi, when Farish and the Farshim, the way they learn the Gemara, it's very hard to learn otherwise. That before they definitely would have killed him, they would have known what he was about to do when he went inside. It says he hid it, he pretended he's going in also to join in the fun. Kaviyachal, yeah? If they would have known, they would have killed him. But even afterwards, when the story happened, it is a very strong mashmaus that they wanted to kill him. The Chassam Sofer, Kepshutei Shamikra, does not learn like this in the Zvart. And he says that once it was over, they were only being mezalzel on him. They did not want to kill him. They were very upset. They disagreed. They were furious. Excuse me, but they did not intend to kill him. There was no such plan. And the Chassam Sofer says, I'll pee this, something amazing. It says, at the beginning of the parasha, Tachas ha-shekhini l'eliko v'yichapar al b'nei Yisrael, because he was such a kanoi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was a kapar for b'nei Yisrael. What does that mean? B'nei Yisrael was nus. And then someone else is a kanoi, is a kapar for them. Well, I could go along and do big averis and live next to a real kanoi. I'll find a real kanoi, Mir Tashem. They have them here and there. Live next to a real kanoi, and you find the unusual kanoi, the real one. And I'll go next to him. I get a kapar because I'm in his neighborhood. How could that be? It's impossible. Unless you think he's having a kapar because he does tshuva for you. The Gemara says, Yochet Shras Tshuva and Yuma, Mechaprim the Kulam. So Bekveger right away says it aside. It means it's mechaper on your arvus on that aver. No such thing as one person doing tshuva and being a kanoi and it's a kapara for me. So the Chassam Sofer pshat in the pasuk is because Bnei Yisrael tolerated his kanos, even though they really, you know, in their hearts they were so furious and upset, but they tolerated, they respected his kanos. Because of that, it was a kapara for them. They were zeichet the kapara because they were so evil. His kanos, as they look at the Chassam Sofer. That's tachas ha-shekhini l'alikor v'yichapar al b'nei Yisrael, because they allowed it. And then the Chassam Sofer says something else. He says that we know that Aaron was zeichet to kahuna. He says he was zeichet to become a kohen gadol, says the Chassam Sofer, because he was meister nefesh to build the eagle himself. because he was scared of Bnei Yisrael were going to kill him. So he did it very slowly, even though he knew he's going to get in trouble himself. He was giving up his Yiddishkeit. He was doing an Aveira to save Klal Yisrael. So that's how he was Zechet to Kahuna Aaron. But he says, anytime you remember Aaron being a Kohen, you're like, oh, how did he become a Kohen? It becomes a shanda, it becomes an embarrassment, because you remember how Bnei Yisrael wanted to kill him. And they would have killed him if he would have stopped it. So Aaron's Kahuna came with a bit of a bezionis. But now, he says, you have a bris kahunas oilam. It says in the parasha, bris kahunas oilam. You know why it's called, you know why it's now it's going to be for oilam? Because now we have Pinchas doing it, and they didn't do anything against him. He did a kanoi, they didn't do anything against him. And we had the tzitkas of Aaron together, who gave up his life, and gave up his Yiddishkeit, and was willing to do everything for Klal Yisrael. So now, the two things together, Pinchas is like at the bris kahunas oilam. That's like the Chassam Sefer. But continues the Chassam Sefer. This is the big time of the big complaint, the very big sad complaint of Eliyahu HaNavi. He says, this was in the past, Kanoi. Then nobody tried to kill me. But now look at the Aridas Adairis, hundreds of years later. Hundreds and hundreds of years later, in the time of Achav, I did a Kanois. I made that there's no rain. They tried to kill me. I made the Nase of Eliyahu Bar Carmel and killed the Nevi Abal. They're trying to kill me. I did now a kanayis, and look at the Aridas Hadairites. They're trying to kill me. And that's what he was so upset about. Because there's a higher level of kanos, a higher level of adar, excuse me, when someone does kanayis and you don't agree with them, and you're disappointed, and you're angry, and you're upset, and you think it's a chutzpah, they killed my Nasi. The Nasi, we know that when it was a very big tzaddik. Zimri ben Sal, everybody knows, Rabbi Yisrael Eibeshitz, and Rav Tzadik HaKohen, many mahalchim, both of them, said that we, since Zimri was, according to the Gemara, Shlomi Yom Suri Shad, there was a Nasi, it must be that he meant well. And they have all these cheshbonis, how maybe it was kosher what he did. He felt so, he was doing the right thing. But Pinchas was also right. Moshe was watching, Aaron was watching. Pinchas also knew what he was doing. And they were so upset, they wanted to kill him in their minds. But nobody did a move against him. They tolerated, they respected his kanois. And that's a higher madrega. And then, there was this Yerida that happened in the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, much later on, hundreds of years later, when they're making a macha to the point that they're willing to literally go along and kill him, and he's wanted. And that's what he's complaining about. So I'd like to share with you some maybe other little short stories and anecdotes concerning this. First of all, this is a personal story. I learned in Yeshivas Panovich, and for whatever reason, this is not going to be discussed because this is off topic, there is a flag, an Israeli Tzioni flag on Yeshivas Panovich on top of the building once a year on Chag Atzmaut Medinat Yisrael. There's a flag up here. The Panovich Rav established it, and that's how it is every year. And they even have a guard to make sure that no troublemaker should go take it down. Now, every year on this day, a few people come from Yerushalayim wearing sackcloth. I do not know if they're connected to Neturi Karta, connected to Satmar, like there's some other group, I don't know, but they come, and I've seen this, I learned in Yeshiva, they would come across from the entrance of Beis Medrash, right by the doorway, the walkway, to go into Rav Shach's house. And they would stand there from the morning, till the flag would come down, with a megaphone, and say Hespedim, and Musar, and Drashith, about the big Chilul Hashem, in their opinion, that Yeshiva HaGdoyla, HaKdoy Shepanovich, has on it a flag from Medinas Yisrael, and they would speak, and they would explain their opinions, and they would give drushes, and every once in a while they would say, Oy and Gewalt. And sometimes Bachim would come and discuss it with them, argue with them. And I saw Rav Shach come down after Mincha, the Reshiva, Rav Blazer Shach, we'll mention him again soon, would walk downstairs, I saw this, and as he would get closer, they would get quiet. He would pass by them, he would nod his head in greeting to them, I saw this. And they would shake their heads back at him, say, Shalom Rosh Hashiva. He would walk into his house, close the door, and they would continue. This was the respect of once upon a time. But then, in later years, when Rav Shach already wasn't coming at him, or he wasn't well, and when he was nifter, I saw and I understand, I don't know if it goes on Mamash Tol Tei or not, is Bachrim don't know exactly from yeshiva, will be done like us. Bachim would come over and start fighting, physically fighting with these guys. Chutzpah coming to our yeshiva, and they would be literally, physically fighting with each other. This is the Yeridus HaDoiris that Takasam Sofer is speaking about. I have a friend here in the neighborhood, Ramat Beit Shemesh, named Reb Amram Linder. There's two of them, two first cousins. I'm talking about the blonde one, who told me that his grandfather, which is also the grandfather of the other Amram Linder, told his grandson, my friend, that when he was a young man, Rav Dashinsky, who was the head of the Eidah Charedis of Yerushalayim, the head, the Gaivit, the Friedrich Rav Dashinsky, Rav Yitzvi Dashinsky, the son later on was also, but the head, Rav Yitzvi Dashinsky, asked him to become a member of Iriyat Yerushalayim. Iriyat Yerushalayim was an existing establishment, existing government body, before Medinat Yisrael. Under the Brits, there was already, Yerushalayim already had a Tziyoni section in the area. I didn't know this. He told this to me. And he would go there and he would help. He told me his job was to help people that didn't have relatives, Holocaust survivors, which had been in the last 5 years, were coming over to Eretz Yisrael, to help them get money to be supported from the city. And he said he knew there was a big problem. There would be people who were Kanoim from the old Yerushalayim that would be against him. He was part of that community. He still told him to go in there. And he said his grandfather told him that there were many people who mamish made him bizyoinis, and they may have gunnis against him, demonstrated against him. But still, many of the main ones ended up making shiduchim with him. Their children or grandchildren ended up marrying each other. Why? His grandfather told him it was never personal. It was always about the shita, the hashkafa, but there was never anything personal, and therefore they were able to go along and get married to each other. Some of the biggest heads of the Kanaim ended up marrying into his family. So this was the once upon a time. There's a kanos, and you don't agree with it, you don't like it, but you still knew how to show respect for this person, because he felt he's doing the Shem Shemaim. I'm going to give you some more stories. Let's interrupt the stories just a moment with just another discussion from Chazal. Everybody knows the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Yevamos discusses how Bisham and Yisrael have tremendous differences in halacha about chalitza and yibam, who's allowed to marry who. And still says the Gemara, "Va'emes va'ashalom yifgashu," the truth and the shalom meet, because they would still marry into each other. They didn't consider each other treif. Bisham and Yisrael. Now we do find, you can find this in the different calendars that have events discussed, that on Tes Adar, it's Machlek Zayachi, it's Tes Adar or Tes Vav Adar, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, the Torah says it's a Panis Tzadikim, because the Tamidei Beis Shammai and Tamidei Beis Hillel fought terribly with each other. I mean, the Gemara in Shabbos, but Yud Ches Dover speaks about that it was a terrible Yom for Klai Yisrael when Beis Shammai and Hillel were arguing with each other. Mamish terrible. The Gemara says it was Amul Machlek Zayachi, from the Yerushalmi, how they were killing each other, literally. There is a nusach in Megillas Tainis that says where 3,000 Talmidim were killed. There was such a nusach, 3,000 people from Beis Shammai Yisrael were killed. And at the same time, we have this Gemara, again, that we said from Yevamos, that says that they were, that Mamash Rabbi's Machlek is about Tsaris, and the halachas of Tsaris Abbas and everything, and still, they would marry into each other. So, I'm not sure exactly how to work that one out, but still their machlokes was all in learning, and in the learning it seems like they killed each other. I don't know what to say. Look in the Yerushalmi, you'll see, it speaks about they were coming downstairs, it became very serious, and at the same time, so maybe it was an in-between level, maybe it was in between the two levels of Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm coming to be mayor, to point out. I heard from my Mashkiach, at the Panamit Sherov, once brought in the president of Israel into Beis Medrash. And Kanoim heard that this was happening. Kanoim came from Yerushalayim. They were downstairs, in the lobby downstairs, known as Shari Usher. And Rav Karelenstein, who became later on a Rav in Ashdod, he became Rosh Yeshiva in Ashdod. He started making a macha against these Kanoim. How are you making a macha against our yeshiva? And the Parim Yitzharav said to him, "Stop! They mean 100% L'Shem Shamayim." Another story he told me, the famous Rav Dasser of Michtiv Meliyo, when he lived in Gateshead, he began teaching girls. And he opened a program for them. And he told me a little bit the history of the opening of the program. It's not so relevant for the Shir Mamish. And Rav Sternbuch, I think if I understand correctly, his sisters went to it. Rav Sternbuch sees his sisters went to it. And Rav Dessler himself then was without his wife. His wife wasn't with him in England. I think maybe she was still in Europe. So he was like a single guy. And he gave also a shir once a week, a nach, like in Tehillim or Mishnah or something like that, to these girls. And there were people in London that never heard of such a thing in their life. A single man, a man b'chol giving a shir to girls, and a single man, and a navi. These people didn't even learn this type of, I think it was chassidim or something. It wasn't something they were used to. And they, one day they got a hold of him, and they physically beat him up. They beat up the mikvah of Melio. And the people wanted to make a whole afghana against them for the cover of Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler said, these people are going to get Gan Eden because they meant L'Shem Shamayim. So what the Michtam Elio said about these people. I'll tell you another story. There's a book called Notches Stories from Rav Twersky, Zichrono Livracha. Zichrono Livracha. And he brings in there a story. I love the story. It happened in the time of the Baal Shem Tov himself. Baal Shem Tov once came to the city of Brod to visit, the city Brod. The city Brod was a tremendous city of Tamina Chachamim. One of the biggest Tamina Chachamim in the city was a Yid named Reb Chaim Tzanezer, not to be confused with Chassidus Rebbe Reb Chaim Tzanezer. Reb Chaim Tzanezer from Brod has Haggai's printed in the back of a couple of the Chalakim and Shulchan Aruch. He was the biggest Tamina Chachamim. This is right beginning of the time of Baal Shem Tov, not the one from Tzanez, Klugsenberg, Babiv, not that one. Not the Divri Chaim. So this Reb Chaim Tzanezer was a misnagid against the new Chassidus movement, like many Gedolim were. And they told him, we're going out to make a macho against the Baal Shem Tov that's coming to visit Brod. So he said, I don't have time for this, I'm learning. So he didn't go to the Havgana. That night, before he went to sleep, Rav Chaim Tzanezer made a cheshbon ha-nefesh, like he did every day. And he decided that one of the psakim which he had made, I think to a woman, a psak he had given her, was the wrong psak, and he needed to fix the psak. And then he was wondering, how did it happen that I make a mistake in psak? He said, it must be I did an aver today that was guarding me to make this wrong psak. He said, what was my aver? What aver could I have done today? He's doing a cheshbon ha-nefesh. He decided his aver was that he didn't make a havgana, he didn't protest against the Baal Shem Tov when he came. So he decided he has to make a fix himself up, and tomorrow morning early, right when the Baal Shem Tov comes out, he heard the Baal Shem Tov wakes up early, he goes to the mikvah, and then goes to Nate. He's going to be waiting with him and throw rocks on the Baal Shem Tov. So he was waiting outside early in the morning. Baal Shem Tov came out, and he was about to throw rocks. He saw the face of the Baal Shem Tov, and he, with his tzidkus, recognized Baal Shem Tov as being a tzaddik. He saw his face, so he dropped the rocks on the floor and said, okay, this is wrong. This Baal Shem Tov is taka good yid. Baal Shem Tov went running over, picked up the rocks, and kissed them, and said, these rocks were picked up l'shem shamayim. They were picked up l'shem shamayim. You don't drop them on the floor. This kedusha, they were lifted l'shem shamayim. Again, this is people, they're able to recognize there's a difference between a shita and the person himself. And I'm going to say something, which when I first heard this a few years ago, I was shocked about this. I didn't actually believe it, but I have this corroborated from a few different places, the same theme, so I am highly suspicious that it's true. The following, what I'm going to be saying now, again, which I find it difficult to believe myself, came to my attention from my friend Reb Nachman Seltzer, the famous author, who shared with me the story after his book Incredible 1 came out. It wasn't called Incredible 1, it was called Incredible. Before Incredible 2 came out, he shared with me the story, which was eventually printed in Incredible 2, which he was too nervous to put into Incredible 1, and people wouldn't believe the story. And I heard this same story independently from a number of Talmidim of Rav Volba. Rav Volba said this over, including our local friend, Rav Shiva Rav Dover Lev Shlita. And if I understand correctly, Rav Shlomo Lawrence, the Chaver Knesset from Agudas Yisrael, also has this in his memoirs. I didn't check this up exactly. I think you could maybe. And what is it? We know that Lubavitcher Rebbe and Rav Shach argued very strongly. That's a very kind word. They didn't argue. They were blasted each other. They blasted each other's shitas. They called each other in public, basically apikorsim, Mashiach Sheker, and all that type of stuff. Mamish, terrible things. And they were very, very against each other. Everybody knows this. And I know this. But I didn't know, and again, Nachman Seltzer heard this from, or Nachman Seltzer heard this from Rabbi Yossi Wallace. And he has all the details of the story, an incredible, to a whole chapter on this, a very long chapter. And similar story, and it's independent, revolves it over. And I heard from two Talmidim of his. And Rav Shlomo Lawrence also, that Rav Shach requested the name of Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he was sick to daven for him. And his Talmidim were shocked, and he said, the man is sick. I don't hold anything of his shittas, but the man is sick, and he's a Refuah Shleima. Why shouldn't I daven for him? And an incredible, it also says how they wished each other a good tiara, ben shtiara, and Yossi Wallace personally carried the words back and forth. I'll mention as a side note, that Dover told me, that Revolva told the Talmidim, that you learn from this, that the only one who has the right to go along and make a huge machlaikas like Rav Shach did, is Rav Shach, who knew how to differentiate between the shita and the person. But again, I'm just showing, I see, that the big people, they might be very against something, but never became personal. If they hold someone's a Rasha Gamor, an Apikairis Gamor, at some point, yeah, we spoke about Misanecha Hashem Esma, we spoke about a Parshas Baal Eischa. But if the person is meaning the Shem Shemayim, just making a huge mistake, they don't go under the category of Misanecha Hashem Esma. You hold maybe they're totally wrong, they're totally off, they're not Apikairis Beshoig, you never Echad Apikairis, but they're not Misanecha Hashem Esma, they don't hate Hashem. Well, here we're going to add something else. This is a Gemara. This is the final thing we're saying. The Gemara, very famous Gemara, Tfilas HaShachar, Daf Chofches, the Gemara has the Machlaikas, which is in Rosh Hashanah, and Brachas, and in Bechayis, the ongoing, very long story between Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Gamliel, and the disagreements, and I don't know if we could use the word fights that they were having, until at one point, the Gemara tells us in Brachas, Daf Chofches, and on base, they threw Rabbi Gamliel out, they said, you're not Nasi anymore. He was chucked for being Nasi Shem Yisrael. And they appointed now Rav Lezman Azari to be instead. And still says the Gemara, Vaf Rav Gamliel Leimona Atzmo Beis Medrash. Rav Gamliel did not, because of this, stop coming to Beis Medrash. Rav Gamliel, as much as they insulted him and defamed him, threw him out, or maybe Mavaza him, but Rav Gamliel knew without any question, there's no Shaila, that they all meant L'Shem Shamayim. So Mela says the Gemara of Avram Gamil Leimona Asim Meismedesh Apilu Shah Achat, even for one moment. And he was involved in the discussions in Torah. And the Gemara goes and discusses different things, sukkahs that came up that day. And we have the Shitra Gamil, which is pure Torah. Meaning to say, it was Sebechol Koichi, with all Manuchas HaNefesh, nothing to do with it. He wasn't insulted. He knew that he did was L'Shem Shamayim. He disagreed. But he knew that it was completely L'Shem Shamayim. And later on, we know that people might have been Nifter because of the story. Because of the Zilzulzulim and Kukavit that went, like the Gemara tells us in Bamatsia, but still, it's these big Yidden, they were often things that they completely disagreed with, very, very strong disagreed with, but the person themselves, they still had avitu, they still had respect to, even when they completely disagreed with the Shita. We should be Zaycha to the Emes Vashalom with Goshu. As much as we search for the truth, we should always stay focused on having Shalom. We should be Zaycha to it. I should be zeichet, you should be zeichet it. Have a good Shabbos.